All right. Hello, everybody. This is Evan Moltz, a field coordinator for the John Birch Society, and this is a conference call we're doing with Alex Newman. Alex Newman is an author, he's a public speaker, and he is a top-notch, I forgot the exact position you have for the New American, I think foreign correspondent, but you're an excellent writer for the New American Magazine. And we're going to talk about this because a few weeks ago I was alerted that the Council on Foreign Relations is now contacting state representatives in my state and asking them to be on conference calls, which, you know, triggers a red flag in my head, because the Council on Foreign Relations is a Marxist organization. It was designed to be a Marxist organization, and they have a goal for one world government. But not in my studies have I ever heard of them targeting state levels, or state governments the way they are now. And so Alex wrote an article that's very timely, and I'm going to show this for those watching this on video. It's in the January 6th issue of the New American Magazine. And if you just flip to the second article, there is a it's an article that looks like this. And that's titled, CFR, U.S. Needs More Mass Migration, Bigger Welfare State. And then if you move on to the next one, this is my favorite article right here. CFR pushes central planning to fuse education with economy. And both are very important articles for people to know. But most people in the Republican Party and most people concerned have no idea what the Council on Foreign Relations is. So, Alex, welcome to the call. Could you explain to people why this is important?
Yeah, well, thanks so much for having me, Evan. It's a pleasure and an honor to be with you and with everybody on the call. I love your people up in South Carolina and Georgia. You guys are doing awesome work, so thank you for everything you do, Evan. So the Council on Foreign Relations is probably the most important deep state organization that's exclusively focused on the United States. You know, I call it deep state behind the deep state, or deep state HQ here in the United States of America. It's been around for about 100 years now. And it was actually formed after our senators rejected entry into the League of Nations following World War I. The globalists decided, hey, that's not acceptable. We can't have a world government if we have those Americans doing their own thing over there and won't participate. So they created this organization for the purpose of sucking America into this abomination that they were building. You know, it took some time. They had to wait till after World War II, but they finally succeeded in their goal of getting the U.S. suckered into their global organization. At that point, it became the United Nations. And their goal ever since has been to gradually undermine American sovereignty and gradually merge us into this global system that they're building. You don't have to take my word for it. They'll actually tell you. They have a magazine called Foreign Affairs. It's their mouthpiece. And if you read it, they actually have pretty frequently admissions about what they're doing. One of the clearest ones came back in 1974 from Richard Gardner, who had been the Assistant Secretary of State. And he said, the House of World Order is going to have to be built by gradual erosion of sovereignty. The old top-down approach is not going to work anymore. And that's what we've seen the CFR doing all this time, gradually working to eliminate American sovereignty, a little treaty here, a little trade agreement there, a little international convention here to regulate something or another, until one day we wake up and we find that we're not even able to govern ourselves in our own country anymore. That's their strategy. We've had defectors come out of this organization, like Admiral Chester Ward, very highly decorated U.S. admiral who spent 16 years in this organization. And when he defected, he actually got together with Phyllis Schlafly and wrote a book together called Kissinger on the Couch. And they blew the lid off this whole thing. They said that, you know, this is an organization that is trying to subvert American sovereignty. That's their main goal. They have this kind of fanatical zeal about doing it. The words that they hate most in the entire English language are America first, right? So, you know, we wonder why the deep state hates Trump so much. Well, you know, because he says America first often, and at least in his thinking, you know, he may get deceived by CFR policymakers who are around him from time to time. But I think in his thinking, at least, he does believe we should put America first, that the U.S. government ought to put America first. And so that's their plan. They actually continued in this book that the central core of this organization is dominated by the Rockefeller brothers and the international banking interests. And, you know, we've known this for a long time. Carol Quigley, I've actually got his book behind me. You could probably see it right here, Tragedy and Hope. He talks about this global secret society. He refers to it as the Round Table Group, founded by Cecil Rhodes and Lord Milner and some of these other guys. Cecil Rhodes, of course, was the guy who took Rothschild money and made a gazillion dollars down in South Africa investing in gold and mining and minerals and things like that. And he said the goal was to create a world government, basically, run by the Anglo-American establishment, kind of modeled on the British Empire model. And so that's what the CFR is. And you're right, Evan. Actually, I think they must have started out on the West Coast, because back in October, I started getting phone calls and emails from state legislators and state senators out on the West Coast. They said, Alex, you have to see this. The CFR is getting in touch with us. They want us to join their conference calls. And they're peddling all this nonsense about we need open borders and we need to, you know, reshape the school system. And I guess now they're reaching out to folks out in South Carolina as well. And, you know, I think state legislators are like, ooh, the CFR wants to talk to me. And not all, but a lot of them, they feel very important because the CFR reached out to them. Folks, you're being used, right? They're reaching out to you not because they think you're cool or they think you're special. They're reaching out to you because they now want to shove this agenda down our throats at the state and local level. And we really need to be on high alert here because this is a dangerous, radical anti-American agenda. And they're trying to push it now down to, you know, even the local level.
So I'm going to show people your two articles that you wrote, because they can both be found on the New American website. And so I'm going to share the browser here that I have on my computer so that they can, so anybody can read these on their own just by going to thenewamerican.com or just Googling the headline CFR, U.S. needs more mass migration, bigger welfare state. If you want to listen to this in audio format, you just press the play button and that gets it to you. It's a robot that does the voice, but it still is very, you can understand what the robot's saying. And it's very good to listen to. Now here, this one that I'm showing is your article titled CFR Pushes Central Planning to Fuse Education with Economy. And it doesn't look like that one's in audio format yet, but anyways, you know, people, if you want to understand what is going on here, just read these two articles and you can see why it's important to understand what the CFR is. And I've now switched to where you and I are back both on video, but it's so important to understand what the CFR is, because if they have the resources now, and they've always had lots of resources because they've been funded by the bankers that desire this one world government. But now their strategy is expanding to not just occupying the Secretary of State's office at the in our federal government and owning, you know, the Federal Reserve Bank, stuff like that. But they're finding ways to get into our local governments. And I think these conference calls that they're doing is not just open to the state government, but it's open to local governments too, mayors, any elected official really. But they are I think they're probably spend the majority of their time trying to email state representatives and state senators. How do we expose them while they're doing this? Because I'll tell you, you read the headlines of these conference calls that they're doing and you think, wow, this isn't too bad of a group. It sounds like they're trying to fix America and, you know, I'm in agreement with that. I want to fix America too. So how do we expose this?
Yeah, well, thank you, Evan. And, you know, the CFR, obviously, if they came out and said, hey, guys, we want to destroy your country and we want to enslave you all in a world government, people would be like, that's not a good idea. You know, maybe we should investigate these people. So, you know, of course, they try to come off as, you know, concerned, well-meaning, just, you know, good citizens. But when you actually read these reports, and I actually interviewed two of the members of this task force. So, you know, first of all, once you know the background of the CFR, and you put everything that they're saying in context, you realize, okay, you know, these are not well-meaning folks. Maybe some of the lower level, you know, Stalin or Lenin used to call them useful idiots. You know, they probably believe, oh, if we get rid of sovereignty, we'll have less war and, you know, we'll be able to better save the global environment. Some of them really believe this junk, but once you get to the upper levels, you realize that they don't believe this stuff at all. But this new program that they have is really huge and comprehensive. And actually, the New American Magazine was the first one to break this story. I'm sure more will be coming out in the days, weeks, months, and years ahead. But they've got this new report that they created. It's called The Work Ahead. And it starts off with a kernel of truth, right? It starts off by pointing out that, hey, big changes are coming. There's something going on now in the economy that we haven't seen before. We have the emergence of artificial intelligence. We have more and more jobs being automated. And these are all real things. And these are all things that we ought to be thinking about. These are things that state and local policymakers ought to be thinking about, because these are important developments that are coming. It's going to mean important changes to our economy. So what the CFR does, they start with this legitimate problem, right? And I mean, you don't have to manufacture problems. There's plenty of real problems to use as an excuse to bring in your agenda. So they start with a real problem. A lot of Americans are going to be out of work in the years ahead. A lot of Americans right now who think their jobs are very secure, you know, hey, I've been turning the screw for 30 years on this manufacturing plant. A lot of those jobs are going to be gone. I mean, a lot of the jobs of the people listening to this are going to be gone. There's computers now writing articles. Right? I could be out of a job pretty soon here. So this is a real thing. And it's something that we ought to be thinking about. It's something that we ought to be talking about. But then they take this problem and they say, well, because this thing is coming, we need these drastic changes in every field of society, in every field of government. And so what I did with this report, and I listened into the conference calls and I interviewed some of the people on the CFR task force who were involved with this. And then I interviewed experts in the different fields. So experts in, you know, education, experts in these different issues. And of course, some of the state legislators and state senators who've been, who the CFR is trying to rope into their project. And what's becoming clear now is that this is being used to totally transform governance in the United States. And if you read their report, for example, this Work Ahead report, two of the countries they point to as models are Sweden and Denmark, right? And, as somebody who's lived in Sweden for most of the last decade, I can tell you, we don't want to look like Sweden. Okay, that's a really bad idea. Sweden is circling around the drain right now. It's a society in collapse. It's a society that's dying. It's a society that eliminated liberty, individual liberty and parental rights decades ago. And that's not a model for the United States, right? We're supposed to be a free country. So that gives you some hints about what they're doing. And then, you know, as you dig deeper, they have all these different policy recommendations for every area. And I can just highlight some of them to show you how absurd this is. So on the one hand, they're telling us, hey guys, millions of Americans, maybe tens of millions of Americans are going to be losing their jobs in the years ahead because of this automation. And so what should the government do? Well, one of the things they say is open up the borders, right? More millions of more immigrants. Wait a minute. So we're all losing our jobs. We're not going to have work anymore. We're going to be desperately competing for the jobs that still exist. And you're saying we ought to bring millions of new people in here to compete against us for those few jobs that are going to exist? And I asked the CFR guys this. I mean, we're all going to lose our jobs, and you're saying we should bring in millions more people to compete with us for the jobs that do exist? Say, oh, well, you know, the immigrants will probably create jobs and stuff. Like, you know, sorry, but no, we have a long track record of looking at this. We've seen how it looks like in Sweden and other countries that they point to as models. What that's going to do is drive down wages even further. It's going to increase the competition for the jobs that do exist. That's not a good idea. Okay. And I think it just shows you the hypocrisy of the CFR. If they really wanted what was in the best interest of Americans, they'd say, hey, look, you all are going to lose your jobs here. Let's start thinking about this in a rational way rather than opening up the borders even further to make sure that you can't find a job or that you get paid, you know, peanuts for your job. One of the big components of this whole agenda is the education system. And they don't come out and say it directly, but when you read it and when you talk to them, it's very clear. They're talking about changing away from the last vestiges that we have of kind of a liberal arts education, where the students are expected to learn a little bit about everything. They should know some civics. They should know some history. They should know some science, and, you know, so they could be well-rounded, good citizens. And of course, you and I know, Evan, that that's not really happening anymore in the public school system. It's more of a rigorous indoctrination program and a dumbing down program. But they want to remove the last vestiges of traditional education and shift over to a workforce training model, very similar to what the Soviet Union had, right, and to what the communist Chinese have. It's not designed to educate. It's designed to create useful serfs, right? So you can be a useful serf learning how to weld. You can be a useful serf learning plumbing. And, you know, those things are important. Nobody's going to say we don't need welders and plumbers. Of course, we need those things. But when our education system stops creating citizens who are capable of governing themselves, citizens who understand the basis of our constitutional republic, citizens who understand our place in the world, our heritage as the American people, and all these things, and instead just starts cranking out people who can, you know, turn the screw on the machine until the robot takes their job, we've got a big problem. And you know, we are talking about dramatic changes in the education system that they want. So I interviewed Charlotte Iserbit on these questions, who used to be the senior advisor on education policy under Ronald Reagan. She actually saw this stuff coming in under Reagan when she was at the Department of Education. She started leaking these documents that, hey, they're turning American schools into replicas of Soviet schools, and they're bringing in the same quack Soviet pedagogy and the same quack Soviet methods. This is very dangerous. I interviewed another lady, used to be a professor of education at the Southern Methodist University, Patricia Mathis, I believe her name is, you know, and she said, you know, all this talk about education in the CFR report, and nowhere do they mention the actual problems in the education system, that the kids aren't learning how to read properly, that the kids don't know how to do math properly. You know, these are legitimate problems that we ought to be talking about, not how do we, you know, eliminate the last vestiges of real education and replace it with workforce training. So, you know, very, very problematic. And as you read through the recommendations, I did an outline of the recommendations related to education and in other policy areas. You see that if these were all implemented, America, as we've come to know it and love it, would cease to exist. I mean, it would no longer be a free country. It would be more along the lines of the European welfare states, right? The government would take care of you from cradle to grave. The government would oversee your education from the time you're a baby all the way up until you die, right? They want lifelong education so that they can train the older people to adapt to these changes that are coming. They talk about, you know, open borders, to have the government take over the retirement system so that all the slaves, serfs, citizens, whatever you want to call them, you know, are okay going forward. It's very, very dramatic changes that they're talking about. And they're trying to do it through the back door. I mean, they're, you know, the reason they're not going public with this and saying, hey, guys, everybody, look at our ideas. These are so great. You should all pay attention. The reason they're not going to the New York Slimes and the Washington Compost and the Fox News and the CIA, you know, all of which they have access to. A lot of these media outlets are actually corporate members of the CFR, including the parent company of Fox News, News Corporation, and Wall Street Journal. Right? The reason they're not talking about this in the press is because they want to get the state legislators on board first, and then maybe later, kind of like what they did with Common Core. After everybody's on board, then they'll announce to the world, hey, it's a done deal. We got this program in the works. Everybody get ready, because America's going to be a different place. And it's all for your own good, citizens. Nothing to worry about. We're, you know, we're just doing this because we love you guys. Very, very troubling stuff, Evan.
Well, Alex, I want to thank you for being part of this. I want to have you on the call again, you know, in the coming weeks. We do this every Monday. We start at 10, 11, and have our last call at noon, all in Eastern Standard Time. So thank you so much for joining us. If somebody wants to get activated and take action, what do you recommend that they do?
Well, first of all, if you're not a member of JBS yet, get involved, right? I mean, go to the John Birch Society's website, jbs.org, and become a member. Okay, the JBS is kind of like the counterweight to the CFR. Yeah, we don't have billions and trillions of dollars, and you know, the Fox News parent company is not a corporate member of the John Birch Society. But hey, we have the truth on our side, and that makes all their little weapons look silly in comparison. So that's one big advantage we have. We also have some of the finest men and women on this planet who are involved. So great place to start would be to go to jbs.org and get involved. Second of all, if you're not reading your New American magazines, you should be reading your New American magazines, right? You know, the JBS and our allies and our friends, maybe people who aren't necessarily members, but who are working with us and on this program to help restore America and reinstitute constitutional government. We're kind of an educational army, and an army without intelligence is useless. I just go home, right, if you don't have good intelligence. So you need to be reading the New American to get a sense of, you know, what the other side is doing, to also get more familiarized. You know, they've tried to erase our history. So in every issue of the New American, we have a history article to get people, you know, to remember where it is that we came from. Sun Tzu always used to say, you know, in that book, The Art of War, he makes it very clear. If you want to win, you got to know yourself and you got to know your enemy. And so the New American is probably the premier source of information for knowing both ourselves, you know, who we are as Americans, our constitutional system of government, our founding fathers, where our country came from, and of course, knowing the enemy, the deep state, the insiders, the establishment, the globalists, whatever you want to call them. So be reading your New American magazines, be reading your JBS bulletins, and then get involved, right? Once you have the information, don't just like, you know, vacuum it all up into your brain. You got to go do things. So run for office if that's your thing, or develop a relationship with your state legislator, with your state senator, with your county commissioner. Develop relationships with opinion molders and decision makers in your community. And you'll find it's really not that hard. You know, most of the people in your district don't even know the name of their state legislator. Give them a call. You know, they like to hear from citizens. They like when people care about what they're doing. So give them a call. Hey, can I have an appointment? I've got this issue of the New American, and there's all these articles about the CFR reaching out to state legislators. I'd like to come in and talk to you about these things. And 9 times out of 10, they'll be very happy to see you. They'll be happy that somebody cares. So develop relationships with the people in your community who are in positions of authority, who are in positions of influence. And that's how the JBS works. That's how we have managed to be so successful in holding back these forces of evil for 61 years now. So I would say that's a really good place to start. And once you start digging into this, you realize that, you know, you open one box and there's 10 more boxes inside. So there's a lot to go through, but that's a good place to start, I think, Evan.
Well, thanks again, Alex. We'll move on to the Q&A session of this conference call. And so we'll be ending the recording. For those watching this on YouTube or listening to this on the Bircher podcast, please share this, because this is a great way to get the word out about what's happening. And please subscribe to the Bircher podcast if you haven't already. And if you'd like reminders about these conference calls, just go to remind.com/join/JBS or just text the word at JBS leaders, and that's just the at symbol, at JBS leaders, text it to 81010, and you'll get reminders when these conference calls take place. So anyways, Alex, thanks again, and we'll move on to the conference call section of this.
Thanks so much, Evan.